This is Talking to America. I'm your host, Aaron Zellman. Our guest today is Ryan Horsley of Reg Trading Post in Twin Falls, Idaho. Ryan has been a victim of BATFE abuse, and we're going to talk about his story and some of the fascinating aspects of it. Ryan, welcome to Talking to America.
Thank you, Aaron.
Ryan, why don't we start with you just giving us a brief history of the family business?
Well, Red's Trading Post was actually started back in 1936 by my great-grandfather. We're actually Idaho's oldest gun shop. We've been here for quite a number of years, and we've always had an honorable, upstanding business.
Well, then why would the ATF, or the BATFE, or some people call it the Bureau of Arbitrary Technical Findings and Edicts, why would they harass you?
When they came in 2000, they did an audit in 2000, and that's when I just took over as manager of our family store. They found violations, and I mean these were, you know, minor violations such as writing wire in instead of yes or no, and their response to that was it could, you know, on some of these questions is wire in could be misconstrued as something else. And we had another agent come back in 2005 to do another audit. We've had other audits since, and at that time he had told us we were one of the best small gun shops he'd ever inspected, so I wasn't too concerned, and he started writing us up on violations. And I mean, some of these violations, when you took a look at them, wrote us up on a poster and a pamphlet. These posters and pamphlets, these were each separate violations, one for the poster, one for the pamphlet, both stating that handguns are dangerous around children. He also tried to write us up on gun locks, not having any free gun locks available. However, most new firearms are supplied with gun locks. And finally, I was able to find one gun lock that was down there, that, and he made sure that that did not have a price because it has to be a free gun lock. The other issue that they brought us up on was, the biggest violation they got us on was county, not having the county down. And, you know, and I had asked him at that time, you know, what about some of these areas in the country that don't even have a county? He didn't want to address that. And as we read it and as we're defending it as well, is that it's county and or city. But they wrote us up on 320 violations of not having the county, although it had the city. All in all, we had a 99.6% success rate. They went back 5 years. We averaged about 2,000 firearm sales per year. So he went back through about 10,000 forms. And, you know, keep in mind on some of these violations, these are not laws, they're not ordinances. What these are policies. The ATF comes up with these policies, and what's interesting is when we were written up in 2005, these were none of the violations that were written up in previous audits. And so that's what was interesting, is that, you know, in walking through in this 2005 audit, I questioned this agent several times, saying, you know, we've never been told of this or this issue or this issue. It's never been brought up. And he told me at that time, different agents look for have different items that they look for. So it's all up to interpretation right there.
Let's see, you got 10,000 forms to go through, and there's about 40 hand-entered spaces, if I remember, on a 4473. So it's 400,000 entries all done by hand.
Yes.
And you had a 99.6% rate that was accurate?
That is correct.
All right. So that's why they want to revoke your license, because there's someone didn't put an N in where there should have been a no and things like that.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, it's too bad they can't be held to the same standards or Congress. So you go through this craziness where they want to revoke your license, and you have to go through an appeals process. So what was that like?
The appeal process was ridiculous. I was excited about the appeal process because, you know, at the same time, I didn't even think that they would revoke our license over you know, petty paperwork violations and missing poster and pamphlets, and I was absolutely shocked that they would attempt to revoke our license. So I was excited to go through the appeal process. And then our attorney warned me. He said, "Ryan, don't get excited." He's actually an attorney who has been legal counsel for the NRA. He's handled cases like this all over the country. He said, "Don't get excited." He said, "In all of my cases, I've never seen anyone make it through the appeal process." What the appeal process consists of is you sit in front of the agent that did the audit, the ATF attorney, and an ATF employee. And they all report back to the DIO, the Director of Industry Operations. And so it's not a fair appeal process because the attorney reports back to the DIO. This is like the prosecuting attorney prosecuting you and then turning around and acting as an advisor to the judge. And what was interesting is when you talk about error rates, on one of the facts that they brought forth, one of the documents that they brought forth, it was they listed my mother as the owner of our competitor who they revoked their license. And so so even that, we asked them to strike that they listed my mother as the owner of Blue Lake Sporting Goods, our competitor. But and then after we filed in, and then what was interesting is then we filed in federal court. It was okay for us to buy and sell guns until then. But after we filed in federal court, the ATF, well, the DIO, Director of Industry Operations, Richard Van Loan, made the decision that we could no longer acquire new guns. We could sell out our remaining firearms, but we could no longer acquire any more new or used guns. And this Richard Van Loan had said that we were, his reasoning behind this, it was that we were, quote, a threat to public safety. And I even asked as far as law enforcement sales. I had several law enforcement orders to fulfill, and he would not allow me to fulfill our law enforcement orders. And when I contacted our congressional delegates, they were all told, you know, to back off, that they were in federal court. They had waited specifically until we filed in federal court, and then they're off limits. There's absolutely nothing they can do. One of our congressional delegate staff had told me as well, he said, this is the response we keep getting from them, that anytime we question them on any of anything that they're working on, they'll pretty much say, back off, we're in an investigation. Now, at this point, they say, back off, we're in federal court. And so basically he had told me that only if things are pretty much peachy keen, then that's the only time that they can question them on anything.
Well, it's interesting they consider you to be a threat to public safety, but it's all right if they murder people at Waco, and they're not considered a threat to public safety. I know we had some discussions about the judge who found out that ATF left out some critical information. Would you like to talk about how sloppy the ATF folks are, or else how dishonest they are?
You know what? In an interesting fact on the judge, we had the judge that Judge Edward Lodge. He was the same presiding judge in the Randy Weaver case against the ATF, where they killed his wife and others at Ruby Ridge. You know what the judge found in asking for our injunction? He found that indeed we are not a threat to public safety, and he also questioned the ATF leaving out critical information, such as other audits, a 2001 and a 2007 audit that we were found in full compliance, 100% in those ones. They also left out missing information as well, as far as things that we had improved on. And also the judge had kind of pretty much slapped their hand on the fact that they were double counting violations as well.
Sounds like standard procedure for people who are dishonest to begin with. This is happening to dealers nationwide. What kind of response are you getting from other dealers, and what kind of insights do you have since you're part of this industry?
You know, it's interesting because, they had shut one of our competitors, they had shut them down a couple of years ago, and I watched part of that, and they weren't even allowed to have an appeal process. They weren't even allowed to, you know, go through the appeal process. Nationwide, it's staggering. If you take a look at the numbers, you know, revocations are up nearly six times. Number of dealers has decreased by nearly 80% from 94 to 2005. A lot of this started with what they term as the kitchen table dealers, and has moved on to small gun dealers such as ourselves. Earlier this year, I was at a distributor show, and an attorney who's represented manufacturers and distributors, his name is Chris Schifullo. He got up, he was speaking to hundreds and hundreds of gun dealers, and he was letting them know that the ATF is going after gun dealers, and they couldn't go after manufacturers, and they couldn't go after the distributors, so they've been going after dealers, and they've been picking them off left and right. I'm sitting next to this guy who, you know, kind of leans to me and says, "Ryan, is this for real?" And I said, "Yeah. In fact, we're going through it right now." And what's interesting is, you know, so many dealers are going through this. Take a look at some of the numbers. The dealers, if they can't fight them in federal court, then, you know, they pretty much go bankrupt. You know, it's tough to go against the federal government. And, you know, when I've spoken to a lot of dealers and let them know that there's no error room for, you know, at all for some of these businesses. And, you know, I've spoken up and telling people as well that we're an old established business with a 99.6% success rate in the most Second Amendment friendly state in the union, where our senior senator sits on the board of directors for the NRA, and that this can happen anywhere. And so this is what these dealers are going up against.
How many dealers do you think, and those percentage of dealers you think, are really tuned in and fully aware of how the government is trying to destroy them?
I think everybody's just trying to keep their heads low at this point.
Would you think they want to keep their head low when they're in the right and the government's in the wrong?
Because, as you know, there's a fear of the federal government. A lot of people do not want to speak out against the federal government. A lot of these dealers, who I've spoken with, you know, I've said, "Why aren't you speaking out against this?" And they said, "You know, we don't want to, you know, raise the ire of the, you know, of the ATF." And they don't understand that they're not going to back off. You know, that if you keep quiet, they're not going to be your buddy. They're not going to be your pal. You know, when I started speaking up, you know, my mom asked me, "Is this a good idea?" And I said, "What's the worst that they're going to do? Revoke our license?" They're already attempting to do that.
Yeah, it's interesting that a lot of firearms owners fear the government, and the government realizes that, and so it makes it easier for the government to destroy people. The government thrives on citizens who are fearful. There's a term that the ATF uses called willfully. They claim that you committed violations willfully. Can you go into that a little?
Reagan in Congress in the 80s put the word willful in the wording. It made the responsibility of the ATF to show that dealers committed these acts willfully. They'll come in and what they're doing is they're using that against dealers. They'll come in the first time, find violations, whether it's one or 100 violations, and they'll come back in later at another time and say, "Okay, we caught you once, you know, we caught you again, you know, second time it's willfully." You know, they can't do an audit. They can more than, it's got to be only once a year that they can do an audit, but they'll keep coming in until they find it. Willful is a word that's up to interpretation. Most dealers view willful as the word as intentional, that you committed these acts intentionally. In our case, you know, did we commit these acts willfully or intentionally? No. The ATF says that if you committed any violations once and you do it again, it's willful. What's interesting, though, is in our case is that our violations in 2000 and then again in 2005 weren't even the same. So it doesn't even have to be the same violations. It just has to be any violations.
It's interesting. You know, the ATF holds everyone to a higher standard than they're able to attain. In our film, The Gang, we show documentation of how the ATF will lie in court, perjure themselves to claim that they have accurate records of gun owners and machine guns especially. What kind of response have you gotten in support from gun groups, and how has this affected your business?
Well, right now we're sitting at well over $50,000 in legal fees, and we're not even to court yet. We went from 1,000 guns to down to 160. We let two of our employees go. Got a little bit of bad press early on. The problem is everyone believes the government assumes the worst. I was getting phone calls from people saying, how many missing guns do you have? And explaining to them, no missing guns or anything like that. But a lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people sit there and, assume the worst, go, okay, there must be something funny because the government wouldn't just shut down dealers for petty violations, now would they? And so, we had also dropped all of our advertising, so our walk-in traffic was, it dropped significantly as well. And, and speaking with some of our manufacturers, the manufacturers and distributors, they're aware of this, but a lot of them don't know what to do. You get groups such as the NRA and the NSSF, they're aware of this, but haven't really spoken up against it. A lot of them have, a lot of other relationships with the ATF, and so they really have not spoken up against this. In fact, one with the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, Joe Waldron, who's their executive director, actually spoke up against us. He had said, "You have to ask yourself: is the ATF out headhunting, or maybe Reds has some issues? It's a serious business, and you have to ensure you and your employees are keeping up with the law." And the problem is that most people assume the worst. I used to do this. I used to hear about some dealer being shut out of business, and I thought, oh, okay, good. It's another bad dealer who must be doing something completely dishonest. Because if you look on the ATF's website, they tell these slanted stories about some of the work that they're doing, And what they do is, and then they have this small little line at the bottom that says everyone is innocent until proven guilty. Everyone in the industry right now is aware of this problem, but the problem is the general public isn't aware of it. When I've started speaking to people, people are outraged because they see the writing on the wall and they know this is another backdoor attack on their Second Amendment rights. But again, there seems to be this fear of the government that, a lot of the people in the industry, even some of these organizations, are afraid to speak up against them. And that's just it, is, at what point do you speak up? At how many losses do we have to take, until some of these groups, until some of these manufacturers and distributors say enough is enough and we have to speak up?
That's a very good question. I think that with our film, The Gang, people will finally understand how the ATF is a bunch of government gangsters. That's why we call the film The Gang. I think this will be a great step forward, using the film, to wake people up, including dealers who are just ducking, as you say, trying to just stay away from trouble, but only helping trouble find them. How would you say this issue is affecting the industry, and what kind of response you're getting from other dealers? And
Most dealers are just saying, I've had a lot of other dealers say, "Hey, do you have a legal defense fund? Can we help you out? What can we do?" A lot of them are sitting by, waiting for some kind of leadership, waiting for someone to act. I'm getting some dealers who are going, "Hey, calling me up and saying, 'Hey, Ryan, I think you're wrong. I just went through an audit and they just gave me a warning.'" And I say, "Okay, well, that's, you're not listening to me. That's your first warning." That's your first warning. That was the setup for willful. The next time they find anything, they're going to shut you down. And, and the problem is that this industry is faced with so many attacks. You got the Bloomberg attacks right now. They're going after dealers on, setting up these cases against dealers. And everybody's just, a lot of dealers are going, "Is this even worth it?" And a lot of them are saying, you know, gee, if the ATF comes for me, I'm just gonna close shop. This isn't an industry that you make money hand over fist, and the regulations are just absolutely absurd. So it's a lot of these people just choose to give up. When you take a look at the numbers, even the revocation numbers, that a lot of them aren't even, a lot of these dealers aren't even getting their, okay, I'll give you for instance, if all of a sudden at this point I said, hey, you know what, I'm done, I can't afford this anymore, there you go. They would not count that as a revocation. Okay, well, he gave up his license. And so the numbers really don't match.
Well, I'm not surprised. Have you ever told dealers about the Nazi roots of the 68 Gun Control Act? And if so, what kind of response do you get from gun dealers?
You know, I think at first there's a lot of dealers who sit there and, go, okay, well, they're, when they start taking a look at it, when I've started delving more into this and taking a look at a lot of history and realizing, what has happened and realizing as far as how a lot of this relates, it makes more sense to me. A lot of these guys are just taking a look and saying, hey, listen, it's a business, it's, we have to deal with the ATF and that's all there is to it. A lot of people aren't educating themselves and not really looking into it and saying, what can we do? Or looking at the history, looking at how the Gun Control Act was started.
Why do you suppose it is that dealers, distributors, manufacturers have become accustomed to having to accept laws that are unconstitutional, that are destructive to their business? And also, why do you suppose it is that there are 2,300 BATFE agents in America focused on the firearms issue, and 100 million armed Americans, commonly called gun owners? Why would you think, right, 100 million armed Americans are on their knees groveling and begging 2,300 arrogant bureaucratic thugs to enjoy their rights?
We all tend to seem to fall in line. We don't question, what's supposedly our authority, and we say, okay, this is how it is, and we don't see that, that this is not how it should be. That we look at it and say, okay, this is what we have to do, and this is what we will do, and nobody questions it. Nobody, everybody sits there and says, okay, this is what's been given to me. These are the rules and guidelines. When these ATF agents come into your store and begin barking, out orders to you, you have to step in line and you have to do whatever they do, or they will ruin your livelihood. And that's just what it boils down to. I was just amazed when the last, you bring up arrogant ATF agents. This the last ATF agent that we had in 2005. This guy was just bragging to us, my mother and one of my other employees, how they like to quote unquote screw with some of these explosive dealers. And and he told us a story about a gun dealer who became an ATF agent so he could stop being screwed with and start screwing with other dealers. It's just, and he had even told me as well that personally I don't think that anyone should own a gun. And this is the mentality. This is what we're dealing with, and we're being pushed around. No one wants to fight the government. Nobody has the money to fight the government. And but at the same time, we don't coordinate. We sit there and and like I've experienced as well. We throw others to the wolves, and we say, hey, listen, good thing that that's not me. But what happens when it does come down and it is you? What happens to the ATF agent in 2005 found this one gentleman who had been purchasing too many handguns. he pointed out, he said, this guy has bought too many handguns. I said, I don't remember there being a law against this. He asked me for his information. He said, I'm going to go and question this person. Why has this person not bought any long guns or, you know, or shotguns or rifles or anything like that? He has bought too many handguns. And I said, there's no law against that. I said, you're really going to go question this person? And I finally told him, I said, this is a person who lost his arm in a, you know, lost one of his arms in a, you know, in a car wreck. He cannot carry a long gun. He can't shoot a shotgun. I said, all he can shoot is handguns. But yet at the same time, he was still going to question that person. And we get pushed around, and, you know, we get pushed around, and I've heard tons and tons of other horror stories, and asking, why are people just going along with this? Why are they not questioning it? And, you know, and I have to ask myself that as well and say, why have we dealt with this for so long? And why do we continue to be pushed around by this government agency who makes up their own rules? Like I said before, these are policies, not laws, that they continue to start new ones and start new policies, and that we have to, all of a sudden, us dealers go, okay, well, here's a new policy that we have to have this poster up, or we have to hand out these new free gun locks. Nobody questions it, and a lot of times we're unaware, going, okay, here's a new policy that we have to abide by, we have to fall in line, and if not, then we'll be shut down.
What do you think is going to have to happen to stop this insanity and the criminality of the BATFE?
Well, you know, they had the ATF Reform Act of 2006. It received bipartisan support. Our attorney, Richard Gardner, had actually spoke in front of Congress to tell about the abuses going on. It was eventually held up in the Senate by Dianne Feinstein. I've spoken with a lot of industry advisor insiders who sit there and say that they do not think that they can get another ATF Reform Act. You know, a couple other people have brought out, how about cutting their budget? Because what's ironic is that their budget keeps getting increased, but the number of dealers is dropping at a staggering rate. But, you know, I now agree with the JPFO, you know, that we have to boot the BATFE. Our leaders think that we need them, that they're a necessary evil, but they're not, and we can get rid of them, and, you know, and we must. You know, if not, the ATF is going to continue to eat away at our Second Amendment rights. You know, I've even suggested some of the organizations who question if this can be done. And I said, you know what, if not, you know, fire the director of industry operation who loses in court. You know, because if he chooses to go after a dealer, then he chooses to, you know, sacrifice his job, because he's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayers' money to, you know, sink a legitimate business. And that's just it. This director that we're going against, this Richard Van Loan, you know, he has made every step to make our lives just miserable. And, you know, and it just goes to show, you know, what the JPFO has said all along, that this is a dangerous and vindictive government agency. And a lot of people say, okay, well, gee, if we get Republicans in, or, if, you know, we get the Democrats out, this is not a Republican or a Democratic issue. You know, this is an agency that has been out of control under both Republican and Democrat administrations. The change has to happen. Like I said, we cannot sit idly by while they're shutting dealers down. You know, at what point do we say enough is enough? At what point do we realize that we strongly outnumber the ATF, and we get to a point and say we will no longer be pushed around by these thugs?
That indeed is a good question. We're going to have to end it on that because of time. But, Ryan, I want to thank you very much for appearing today on Talking to America. Would you quickly give people your website address and a phone number if you wish?
Yes, that's www.redstradingpost.com. And our phone number is 208-733-3546.
Ryan, thank you again for being with us today. Our guest has been Ryan Horsley of Reds Trading Post in Twin Falls, Idaho. I've been your host, Aaron Zellman. And I would like to remind you, if you won't defend your rights, don't complain when you lose them.
Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of JPFO.org or its members. Talking to America is a production of JPFO.org.